Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Father, we thank you for Stan. We thank you for the things that you've spoken to him in the secret place. We thank you that we get to hear some of those things right now. Holy Spirit, as you have filled this room, I ask that you would fill our spirit man right now, that you would speak to each and every person in this room. You know the needs. You know the questions that are on each and every heart. So I ask that you would use Stan to bring forth your word, because your word is good. Your word is righteous. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I titled this sermon, Confidently Walking in the Favor of the Lord. It's been a little season now the Lord's been having me study his favor. And it's been an interesting season. I've gotten a lot of revelation from it. He's really changed my definition of it in this season of studying it. It's been a process for me to understand and learn the Lord's favor. You know, there's times when I think I knew it so many years ago, and then as we go through different places of life, the favor of the Lord means something different to us. But you know, there's so many pressures facing Christians today. There's so many pressures. We live in a performance-based Christianity. We live in a performance-based society where the overachievers and those who excel are the ones who usually get things and get favor and get stuff. So many times we as Christians are just making our way through life. We have to work through rejection, and we have to work through somebody getting a promotion over us, or somebody in a position getting a position on a team other than us. And so we have to work through that through our lives. You know, if we're all honest, we have a list of times when things have been just downright unfair to us. And it's really hard to work through. But there's times when, in the natural, we have favor from coaches and bosses and parents. You know, parents sometimes, they don't mean to, but they favor one child over another. You know, and so we just kind of work through that as well. And so the Lord wants us to be free from the self-made pressures. And a lot of times we put pressures on ourselves. We put standards on ourselves that are really unable for us to reach. But yet we feel like somehow we need to attain those. So the Lord really wants to crucify our flesh and to get rid of those self-made performance pressures that we put on ourselves. And he wants us to have the freedom to just simply enjoy him, and simply enjoy him enjoying us, and be in that place of a relationship with him that is vibrant, that is alive, and that we can go to him at any moment for anything at any time and allow the favor of the Lord just to rest upon us and to steer us. See, the definition of favor is a special preference for one person to another. And favor is also an unexpected promotion. You know, favor from the Lord keeps us from being stuck. You know, there's times when we just get stuck in life. We're stuck in jobs. We're stuck in friendships. We're stuck in a house. We're stuck in places. And we just feel like, God, aren't you looking? God, don't you see that we're just stuck here? And we feel like, you know, where's the favor of the Lord here on my life? Because there's no movement. We're just kind of stuck in this place in ministry. Sometimes we're stuck in our gifts. We're just not moving forward. And so sometimes we're crying out to the Lord, trying to figure out this whole favor thing. But see, favor from the Lord is not conditional. It's not based on our performance before the Lord. So we can't use it the same way that we try to obtain favor in the natural. See, the basis for the Lord's favor on us, it's not on our performance. It's simply based on his goodness towards us. And Psalm 31:19 says, "How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you." He stores up his goodness for us. And anything he stores up for us, he wants to use on us, to pour out on us. It doesn't say God keeps his goodness just to show you how much goodness he has, and lucky if you get any of it, you know. He is so good, and you know, so he just wants to be able to pour out that goodness. So his favor is not based on your performance. His favor is based on his goodness toward you. And that's a real shift for us sometimes. See, the eternal design that the Lord has for favor is his favor allows him to see how he created you and what he created you to do and to be. His favor, through the filter of his goodness, allows him to see how you're created. And sometimes His favor appears in your life so that you can shift a little bit more towards what he created you to do and to be. So sometimes you might have favor. You might be a gifted musician and you just don't use your gift. Then all of a sudden there's a shift and God opens a door and there's a relationship. And you have this relationship with someone and they're maybe a leader on a worship team or in the house of prayer or something. All of a sudden you don't know how it happened, but you're on a worship team. The Lord just opens doors, and then you're a little bit closer to your destiny. It's interesting in the prophetic when we prophesy over someone that they have a speaking gift, and their eyes get like this big because they've never thought about speaking in front of anybody. Then they come back months later and talk about all the opportunities that the Lord has given them to speak, and sometimes smaller settings, sometimes big settings. So it's really amazing to see what the Lord will do with his eternal design. The difficulty we have in understanding the Lord's favor on us is when the stuff of life happens. There's hard stuff, finances, illness. There's just strain in relationships. There's jobs, lack of jobs. There's problems. There's drama, and there's more drama, and even more drama. And then there's health, and then there's aging. There's aging parents. There's aging on our own. And then there's cultural pressures. There's just so much pressure on us. So sometimes we deal with all this stuff and we're saying, God, where is your favor on us? Where is all this stuff? Why is it happening to us? And where is your favor? And then you see, you know, you're in the midst of all this stuff in your life, and then you see all this really good stuff happening to other people. And that just wars on your flesh. And then you have to get into that secret place and say, Lord, what is going on here? With your own relationship with the Lord. And fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The greatest opposition to our favor is looking at the favor on someone else. And just being able to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And it takes a real radical ability to be able to just keep your eyes focused on him. But see, those, even with all those events, those events don't change the way that the Lord sees you. They do not absolutely change the way that he's created you, what he's created you to be and do. Those events in your life do not change that. He looks to release his favor on you because of his goodness. And he looks for opportunity to release his goodness and his favor upon you. And when you least expect it. And it has manifestation in many different ways. See, there's times when we look upon the Lord's favor as an incident. So we might get blessed financially, or the Lord might open a door for us, or there's just something huge he might do in our life. And we say, wow, thank you, Lord, for that favor, and we move on, and we forget. You know, even to the Israelites, the Lord wanted them to build altars of remembrance. He wanted them to build rocks. He wanted them to remember what he had done for them. So there's times when the Lord wants the favor of the Lord to be a lifestyle for us, and not just an incident, something that we remember one time. He wants us to be able to walk in the fullness of his favor that he has for us. He wants us to move about in it. The funny thing is, when we walk around in the favor of the Lord, it's contagious. It is absolutely contagious because he doesn't want us to keep it up to ourselves. He wants us to pour it out onto others. He wants us to share it with others. And if you're walking in the favor of the Lord, it is absolutely contagious to other people. And they say, what is wrong with you? Why are you so different? Why this? Why that? And that's one of the most best compliments that you can ever get. When you're walking in the fullness of the Lord, the favor is on your life, and people who don't know him recognize it. And they recognize his favor on you. So today I want us to look at his favor as we confidently walk in it. But I want us to look at three specific aspects of it. Where God's favor is relational, it's promotional, and it's positional. So the first one, God's favor is relational. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the Lord's favor brings you to a high place in your relationship with him. There are times when the Lord can bless you with little involvement from you at all. But he is a relational God, and he wants to engage you to encourage your faith and trust in him. He wants to engage that relationship with you and engage those things that draw up that faith in you, to draw up that trust that you would have in him. And so that mystery among the Gentiles, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that we have Christ living in us, that's a mystery. But it's a mystery that we walk in every day. You see, as a born-again Christian, it's Christ living in us. We're led by the Holy Spirit. We're not orphans any longer. The Holy Spirit is our deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. We can celebrate that and walk in that, walk in the fullness of that. So God is a very relational God, and he is really fighting for his time with you. And he's really wanting to teach you himself about the favor that you walk in, and teach you himself about what he has for you and the things that he has for you. When I look at God's favor and being relational, I really love the story of Moses. I mean, talk about his struggles. You know, when he had an identity crisis, when he realized that he really wasn't a son of the Pharaoh, that he was a Gentile. So he was, you know, had this place. He murdered this guy, and he goes off to the desert for 40 years. You know, so he's in this place. So he was struggling through that. But God had a purpose for Moses. He had an absolutely purpose and a design for him. And it took a long time for him to get there. But let's look at Exodus 33, 14 through 23. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." I just love that. What a bold statement. "Show me your glory." Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness." What's the basis of favor of the Lord in your life? His goodness. He said, "I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of a rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." You know, and I think that, and then when Moses comes off the mountain, he has the glory of the Lord. I mean, there's, I don't even know if in our imagination that we can really even fathom what that looked like. I mean, the movies and the television, they haven't really been able to capture that. I don't think they have, no one's ever really been able to capture that. That he was so strong, so brilliant, and so blinding that he had to put a veil on in order for other people around him to not be blinded, because, you know, he had been with the Lord. And so I look at, you know, God loved him that much and had that relationship with him. God is relational and said, "I'm going to grant you what you want, and I'm going to let you see just that little bit of my goodness. Because I like you, Moses, and I really don't want to kill you. So I don't want you to see my face. So I'd like you to stick around. So I'll just let you hide in the cleft of this rock and let my goodness pass by and see you." You know, and I can't even imagine what that was like. You know, then he comes off the mountain and all this, you know, and then the people were even more freaked out. But Moses had problems with people. They were always complaining. You know, he had problems with his sister-in-law, so he had family problems. He had all these problems. But yet, he was the one who was hidden in the cleft of the rock. So God is clearly relational. And then in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "We with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory." So it wasn't kept just for himself. And when we all reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed in his likeness with an ever-increasing glory. You see, the more the favor of the Lord is in your life, the more the glory of the Lord is present in your life. So we with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. So God is relational, and he wants to have that intimate relationship with you and open the door of favor for you that is only strictly for you, that is a beautiful thing for you. We've not read another passage in Scripture that is exactly like Moses's, because God is relational. But yet Jesus comes and accomplishes what he does for us, not because of the victory that we have in Jesus. We all reflect the Lord's glory, that we're able to do that because of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? So, number two, God's favor is promotional. Let's look at Genesis 41. Story of Joseph. Before I read this, so we know the story of Joseph, and, you know, did he have some relational problems? Do you have some family problems? His brothers didn't really like him. But yet he had a little bent on him that said, hey, this dream I got, you guys are all going to bow. He kind of irritated him. But I'm the youngest in my family. I don't know anything about bugging your older siblings, But it's one of those things where, he had some real problems, some relational problems. And then he gets sold, and then he has more problems. And then he gets elevated, and he goes back and forth. He's in prison, he's not, and Potiphar's wife, and his whole story. God's favor doesn't mean that we're exempt from trials. But he is building in us who he created us to be through those trials. And could it be that those trials are a part of God's favor for us? Because we couldn't become the people that we are sometimes had we not gone through those trials. It is the hardest thing to do to say, thank you, Lord, for this trial. You can move them to the other side of the planet, Lord, but thank you for this trial. But, there's times when it's so difficult that is the hardest thing to do to thank him for the trial. But could it be that the trial is an expression of the favor of the Lord in your life? So let's look at, at the end of this, so Joseph goes through all these trials. So verse 41 of 41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. And the Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger, and he put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes on fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as second in command, and men shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or a foot in all of Egypt. So I wonder what Joseph felt like that day. Did he remember all those trials, all that stuff? And then he goes on, the whole encounter with his brothers and his dad and the whole thing. But it's just absolutely amazing. So here he had these amazing trials, absolutely amazing trials. And then there's Gideon, mighty man of valor. Gideon said, wait a minute, I'm the least of the least and the least of this. I'm in the least of the clan and the least of the least of the least. Mighty man of valor. What is that? But, you look at how did the Lord see him? Through the eyes of his goodness, through the eyes of favor. God saw the end of story. He saw what he wanted to create in Gideon. He saw who Gideon was. Who he was going to be. Gideon saw his circumstances and said, what? I'm the youngest in my family, and we're the poorest family in the block. What are you talking about, God? That's basically what he was saying. And so here, God does, so once again, trials. God shrinks his army. Gideon, bless his heart, he paved the way for any fleece that you have ever put out to the Lord. Gideon's your model, right? So, Lord, would you change our house to red from white, Lord, and then we'll know it's you. We put out the craziest fleeces sometimes, and we all filter it through Gideon. If God can do all this stuff for Gideon, can he do it for us? But, it's one of those things where God sees us at the end of the story, too. He sees who he created you to be. How many of you look now what you're doing, and if you said 10 years ago, if God would have told you 10 years ago what he has you doing now in the kingdom, you would have ran the other way and said, there is no way that I would be doing that. I'm the least of the least in the least of the least, Lord. So then there's Daniel. In Daniel 6, King Darius, the other guys talked the king into putting a prayer edict that they can only pray to him for 30 days. Knowing that they wanted to trap Daniel, they thought, He is predictable. He's going to pray. He's going to pray three times a day. He's so easy to trap. He's annoying. This favor's been on him. If you read Daniel's story, this amazing rise. He's taken out of his homeland, but yet the favor of the Lord is upon him. So here he is in this place. And let's look at Daniel 6. Daniel in the lion's den. The thing that I realized about Daniel when he decided to do what he needed to do, that he was still going to pray, that's because he knew God's favor was on him, and he had a fear of the Lord that was strong in him, that was greater than anything that any man can do to him. He had absolutely no fear of man in him. So he was willing to just say, I'm going to do what I do, and I'm just going to let this play out, because the God I serve is worth for me to keep praying and doing what I do and honoring him and exalting him. So then he goes through the whole thing, and he ends up being spared from the lions, and all these things happen. But then I love verse 25 of chapter 6. That then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every tribe throughout the land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. So here he was. He prospered from that. And for a king to be able to say, to see the favor of the Lord on him, how would that be in your life that God spares you from that? And all the unbelievers in your life, an unbelieving king who has the right to kill you, says, puts a decree that they're now going to worship your God. How amazing is that? So God's favor is promotional. See, God promotions, and he moves the nations. He wants people in high places. He wants people in influential places. He wants his people in influential places. His favor moves people into his presence. You see, I believe that God wants to use some of you to move nations. Are you changing this region because of who you are? Because of the favor of the Lord that is upon your life, has this region changed? Better yet, has your family changed? Your immediate family? I was the first born-againer in my family of Catholics. That was a tough road to go. I was ready to turn in my key to my parents' house. I thought, this ain't going to happen. I'm not going there again. But, you know, it was one of those things where towards the end of my dad's life, I was putting some lotion on his legs, and he patted me on the head, and he says, "You know, the Catholics could use a guy like you." Yeah, so I thought, I came full circle. I've arrived. I never thought I'd hear that out of him. But, you know, it was one of those things where position yourself to serve. But God is in the mood for promotion. He loves to promote and put people in position to who he's created you to be and to function as what he's called you to do. And sometimes you have to be a person of influence. He needs to put you in a strategic place so that you can fulfill your destiny that he has for you. And his favor moves on you for that. So sometimes we need to realize that we are God's favorite. So on the count of one, I want you to say, "I am God's favorite." One. Say it louder. Even louder. Now turn to the person near you and say, "You are God's favorite." That's right. So in one voice, the Lord just heard all of you say, "I am God's favorite." And then you turn to your neighbor and say, "You are God's favorite." How many of you feel that you're maybe a little stuck and you can use a promotion from the Lord today? You can raise your hand. Right? His favor keeps us from being stuck. And so, Lord, I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, just go ahead and put your hands back up. So, Lord, we're just reaching out to you today. And so, Lord, I ask for your promotion to be today. Lord, I ask that you would position these people to change nations, to change the region, to change this nation, to change their workplace environment, their home. Lord, I ask for a promotion today, God. An acceleration of promotion today, God, that they would be able to walk in the fullness of all that you've had for them, that they would walk in the favored place that you have, a strategic placement today, God. So, Lord, we say no more to feeling stuck in our gifts, stuck in ministry, no more feeling stuck, Lord. We say yes to your promotion today, God. We say yes to your favor upon our lives, Lord. Would you move on our behalf today, God? We thank you for all the men and women in the Bible that you divinely positioned so they could walk in the fullness of their destiny. So we say yes to destiny today, Lord. And we say yes to the divine positioning that you have and the promotion that you have. And for the fullness of using our gifts and opportunities for the glory of God this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the third one, God's favor is positional. In Luke 2:14, the shepherds are there and Jesus is born and the whole thing is going on and the angels are singing. They say, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Amen. So right there, this whole thing is happening. The angels are there. Jesus is being born. And they decree that on whom his favor rests. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to go to Colossians 1 and read something there. Love the book of Colossians. Colossians 1, starting at verse 15, going through 22. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. So this is a resume of what we have in Christ. This is who we have. So the Lord really challenged me this week as I was preparing this. He actually hit me with this a few weeks ago, and then he just kept reminding me. He said, do you position yourself toward victory, or do you position yourself from a place of victory? So for a lot of my Christian life, I position myself looking to a place of victory. Oh, I need a breakthrough. Oh, I need provision. Lord, we need this. Oh, Lord, we need that. Can you do this? Can you do that, God? Oh, God, oh, God. Looking to victory, looking towards victory. At times, God answered those prayers in some miraculous ways. But yet, the challenge is, do we position ourselves, even in those requests, from a place of victory, knowing what we already have in Christ, what we already have in him, that it says in Romans 8:17 that we are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. It says so that we can share in his suffering, so that we can share in his glory. Everything that the Father had for Jesus is available to you. So many families have been split up over inheritance, really terrible rifts, over the simplest, silliest things that they're fighting over. But God is saying, I love you this much, and my goodness is on you this much, and I care about you this much, that I'm giving all access, everything that's available to Jesus is available to you. So do we position ourselves from a place of victory, and do we come before the Lord and say, Lord, because of what I have in you, from this place of the victory I have in you, Lord, can you do this? It will change your prayer life dramatically. Because it's standing in what we already have. The favor of the Lord is already upon us. Everything we have in Christ. It says we will do even greater things in him. Jesus fed the multitudes. He raised the dead. All these things. Do we get up in the morning and say, and do we have a list? And do we say, okay, Lord, this day, I would like to raise the dead. I would like to feed the multitudes. 6,000, Lord, more than you did. Okay, 10,000, Lord. Lord, can we raise more dead people? Can we do all these things? Could you write a list every day? Is that on your to-do list of the things that you're going to do greater than Jesus did? Because he called us to do that. Says we have the availability to do that. So do we walk in the favor enough to say, gosh, I can actually do this? Do we position ourselves from a place of victory to be able to accomplish and do those things? Amen? So co-heirs of Christ. You know, and says, can you imagine that will? How many pages that will is? I, the Father, do bequeath to, you know, every one of you in here and everyone out there. I don't think he's not even done writing that yet. He bequeaths everything that we have in Christ. We have access to all that he has. His goodness wants us to have everything that Christ had access to access that favor. And Jesus said, I only speak what the Father speaks. I only do what the Father does. And he walked in that favor, and he walked in it, and he knew it, and he knew how to access it. Because he went away to pray when he needed to. You know, there's so many stories, amazing stories of people's provision. I love the faith of people who've had no meals, and they pray. They set the table, and they pray. I've heard so many stories, and there's a knock at the door. Or there's provision, or people come and then they've been given cars, and people have been given jobs. You know, I have a friend who the Lord has gifted him with the ability to write amazing resumes, and he has gotten jobs that he's been so underqualified for because the Lord gave him favor and knowing the knowledge to how to write an amazing resume. And so, you know, there's that. And there's people who have gone on mission fields, just short mission trips. And they change a nation. You know, if you pray for one person and they get healed in another nation, you change that nation. So there's just stories of testimonies of God giving houses and cars and things that he does in that. But yet there's where he puts people in offices where you think, this is a job from hell. What is this, Lord? But then 2 years later, you see an office transformed because you walk in the favor of the Lord. So his divine positioning, there's story after story of his divine positioning where he has placed people in governments. There was a friend of mine in lives in Bethesda, Maryland, and he keeps wanting to get down there. And there's a friend of his who runs a prayer meeting. He rented an apartment that oversees the Supreme Court. And out the window, you see the Supreme Court. And man, that's an intercessor's dream, isn't it? And he says they just, you know, and there's no way he can even afford this place. But the Lord has continually provided for it. And that is a divine positioning. People from the nations find out about this prayer place, and they go and they pray. So God is divinely positioning his intercessors. He's divinely positioning people with gifts and strategic places so that you can walk out the fullness of all that you have, all that he has for you. See, because we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Doesn't say we're gonna be, says we are. We need to see favor the way God wants us to see it. We need to see favor from his perspective and not ours. Favor should bring us to a place of absolute amazement in the Lord. Absolute amazement when he does what he does and position us and move people and move places and do things and be in absolute amazement of him. Lord's favor is an outpouring in this life based on who the Lord sees you to be in his kingdom. The Lord's favor on you now is an outpouring in this life based on who he sees you to be in his kingdom. He's like, you know, I see how you're doing. I see who you are in the kingdom. So I'm going to pour out favor and position you and have you do this stuff now. And he provides and he does the things to get you into that place. A simple definition of favor is heaven touching earth today. I want us to do something a little different today. Why don't you stand? And I have a favor declaration. I'm going to read a section, and I want you to repeat it after me. And a declaration is not a whisper. It's not just a little mild voice. I'm giving you permission to use your outside voice. Okay? Use your outside voice. You ready? I am God's favorite child. I walk in the way that God sees me in his kingdom. I have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a born again believer. In my Lord Jesus Christ. I am his beloved. And he is mine. I am an heir of God. And a co-heir with Christ. God's favor is a shield to me. I have the mind of Christ. I am righteous. and holy in His sight. I have been delivered from the power of darkness. The grace of God is unmerited favor in my life. I am forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I am an overcomer and more than a conqueror. I am redeemed. I am light in the Lord. I am a child of light. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am seated in Christ in the heavenly realms. I am favored because God is good. I am favored because God is good. I rest in God's goodness. I am an expression of God's goodness. He is good. He is good. God is good. God's favor is His goodness towards me.